Hi, Chief Halton here at Fire Engineering Podcasts, and we are being brought to you by Tenkata Protective Fabrics and their Made for Life podcast hosted by Stuart Perry. The Made for Life podcast unearths the work experiences of real men and women who rely on the protective clothing and equipment to get the job done. From firefighters to industrial workers to military personnel, recent episodes explore the dangers and challenges of wildland firefighting, peer counseling for first responders, and the ins and outs of turnout gear. It's the Made for Life podcast from Tenkata Fabrics. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And thank you for listening to Fire Engineering.
Today, we got a wide range of guests here. Steve Shaw, again from Florida. Mike Richardson from the Midwest, Aaron from New Jersey. Look at the crew there in Oklahoma, Bobby and Larry Conley, and Brian Zates from Kirkwood, Missouri. So a wide range of groups here. And another thing there is I'm not in D.C. anymore. I'm in Louisa County, Virginia, Central Virginia, about 40,000 people in a 500-square-mile community, with 15 firefighters on duty every day. So it's going to be an experience. I'm going to be relying on you guys to help me out with how to use those tenders, tankers and things to get water. So we can talk about that on another show tonight. Today we're going to talk about FDIC. And who better to talk about it than Bobby, Chief Halton there.
Oh, thank you, Tony. And we sure do miss our friends, Dan Shaw and Doug Mitchell and all the crowd from Traditions Training are usually with us. So we always miss them, but it's great to see you guys. I think everybody on here is presenting at FDIC, except for Larry, I guess. And he's just going to be flapping his gums as the keynoter. So actually, no.
Yeah, we're honored to have Larry here today. Very honored to have Larry on today.
And we'll get it. Yeah, that is great to have Larry. And we'll get into the whole glue program and all that in a couple of minutes. But so just real quick, thank you all for being with us today. Real quick, FDIC has been around since 1928. That's when it began. And what happened back in 1928 was, guys just like us, and back then it was all guys, and maybe some gals, I could be wrong. So anyway, guys and gals around the country that were instructors were all communicating in various ways. Folks that knew one another, trading best practices and such. And so one of the folks said, "Hey, we should get together. We should, come together as a group." And so they called it the Fire Department Instructors Conference. And what they did back then is the folks would write papers. So they'd have a paper on, the use of elevated streams or, warehouse fires or whatever. And then they would travel to a location and Chicago, Louisville, it went several cities and they would meet and they would basically, we've got some great old photos. And if I'd been half awake, I would have remembered to bring some with me. Was so busy the last few days, but they would sit around these gigantic tables and have conversations and share these papers. And so like Larry would say, well, in St. Louis, we're doing this. And I'd say, well, in Albuquerque, we're doing that. And Steve would say, well, down in Florida, we're just banging coconuts together. So just kidding. So you know what I mean? There was that kind of thing. Like, what are you doing? Seriously, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? And it was a fascinating deal. It went on uninterrupted throughout the Depression, throughout the World War II, and we have many of the old conference proceedings. They would publish them, so you'd have all the papers in a pamphlet. And we were laughing when we just began, because back in the 70s and 80s, when we started being a little more organized, I guess really when Penwell took it over. When Penwell Corporation took it over, the Instructor Society took it over from just the Fire Department Instructors Conference, was then taken over by the Instructor Society. Then there were some issues, financial issues and troubles with keeping it afloat. So Penwell bought it from the Instructor Society. And that has to be 25, 27 years ago. And then when Penwell took it over, Penwell would publish everybody's work, you know, there you go. But the books got even thicker, right, Mike? I mean, the books got to be, what year is that one, Mike?
This one's from 1998.
So 98. Remember back in like 2001 and 2003, you would get a thing, it looked like the New York City phone book. I mean, it was
encyclopedia.
Yeah, it was just gigantic, right? And it would have all the course offerings, what the folks were talking about and why. So that was kind of the genesis. There we go. 1999. Look at that. Look at the size of that thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the New York City phone book, right? Right? It's phenomenal. Isn't that something, right? So, you know, we were all weaned on FDIC. We all went to FDIC, you know, since we were young pups and took classes and went to the workshops and it just kept growing and growing and growing. And there are so many great people to talk about over the years that were involved, you know, Big Eddie and McCormick. McCormick's dad, you know, he was running it for the society. But, you know, if we tried to list all the great people who were involved with it over the years, we'd leave out somebody really, really important. So I don't want to even try to do that off the top of my head. But FDIC has always been kind of the who's who of fire department people. And what's really, I think, important, two things, is the call for presentations is open right now. If you want to have a shot at teaching at FDIC, send in your presentation. All of these folks on this call right now, we'll take a look at it. They all review presentations for us, and about 30 other folks who most of you all know, and you can get your shot at FDIC. Maybe the best way to get picked up, honestly, is if you've written something, right? Like if you had an article published on Firefighter Nation or Fire Engineering or fireengineering.com or Fire Rescue or something like that. Even if you've been published in Firehouse, you know, send a link, say, hey, I wrote for Firehouse. Many, many, many Firehouse authors, you know, speak with us, as speak at FDIC. And they're great guys and they're more than welcome. It's not we don't do that to people. We don't, you know, just because you taught someplace else or wrote for somebody else, that's fine. This is about the fire service. So get your presentation in. We'll probably extend it. We always do. We always tell you you have 2 weeks, but we always usually throw another week or two on there. So that, you know, if your hair is on fire for the next 2 weeks or, you know, something's going on and, you know, you don't, sorry about the hair line, you guys. I just looked out at the crowd and I thought, oh my God, I just ticked off four of my friends and Tony. So the teasing. So
it's gonna be hard to smile.
Tony's gonna kick my butt when we're together in August. So anyway, please get your presentation in, and we'd love to hear from you. And love to see if we could fit you in. Now, please understand that there's only 200 classrooms, about 90 workshops, and then we're trying to keep it to right around 21 to 23 hands-on training classes, because that's a manageable number, right? If it gets over that, it gets crazy trying to put 6,000 people on buses every day to and from all these different sites. So we've kind of scaled that back. We got up as high as 27. And that was, it was crazy. The other thing I need to let everybody know is, like, Writ Under Fire is almost sold out. So if you want to do Writ Under Fire is the Illinois Fire Services Institute. They do a 5-day program. They put together a 1-day super intense program for us that you can take at FDIC. We're going to drive you from FDIC to their facility in Champaign and home. What's cool about it is Gary Conley and all the cats that are instructing are going to be on the bus. So they're going to do like the five of the instructors are going to be on the bus. And they're going to do like the pre-setup. This is what you can do in this evolution. This is what you can do in this evolution, and go through it with everybody. So the minute you get off the bus, boom, baby, you're going to bunker up. You're going to put on your air and you're going to go to work. And then they, at the facility, you'll be fed. They got showers, so you bring clothes. You put your street clothes back on at the end of the day. You get back on the bus, and that's where the AAR is going to be, right? The after action review is going to be on the bus. So Larry Conley, got too many Conleys around here. Can't swing a dead cat without hitting a Conley. Literally, if I had a dead cat, I'd be hitting a Conley. So Gary and this team will be on the bus going back, and that's where the AAR is going to happen, right? So you're going to have like 45 minutes to an hour with these cats to like talk about, okay, when we were doing this, when we were doing that, you know, and this technique and that technique. So that's going to be just like super jazzed. And then we've got everything else going on, you know, drilling at the speed of flashover. Aaron's got the commercial fire thing happening. You've got the hands-on training thing is, you know, the extrication classes. The extrication classes are also right at about half full. So I can't squeeze you in if you don't register soon. So it's summer school. We're doing summer school. So it's a little fewer classes. So I've only got like 3 extrication classes going. So they're going to fill really fast and I can't help you. We can only take as many students as we can take, right? So don't delay. If you're thinking, oh yeah, I might go, pull the trigger now because I can't help you. The Fool's Bash is on, the comedy night is on, the stair climb is on, the fun run is on, the union party is on. Everything that always happens is happening, except it's going to be summer school. So we're all going to be wearing like our, you know, our sleeveless shirts, our wife beater t-shirts. That's what we used to call them when I was a kid in New York, the Italian version of it. Now we call it the husband beaters. So that, you know, whoever you want to, the sleeveless t-shirts and shorts, it's going to be great.
Bring deodorant.
I think it'll be the first time at FDSC actually the pools get used in an appropriate manner.
I think that's a great like diet plan, right? Because usually you go to FDIC and you come back after a week of feeding yourself. You got a couple extra pounds. Now you're going to sweat it off in beautiful Indianapolis.
So the one thing I am asking people to think about is please don't run the fun run or do the stair climb in bunker gear because it's going to be hot. And although they do have some climate control in the Lucas Oil Stadium, you get up on the top on a 90, 95 degree day, it could be really dangerous in gear, seriously. And we don't want any, none of our friends who were killed that day would want anybody to hurt themselves. You know what I mean? And I get it. There's some of you who've always done it in gear and you still want to do it. And I understand that. And I'm not going to stop anybody, but I'm just asking the rest of you who, you know, we're thinking like who felt maybe compelled to do that. I'm asking people just wear your workout gear. You know, I mean, the reason we're there is the reason we're there, not, you know, you don't have to hurt yourself. But if you want to wear your gear, you can. I'm not that kind of person. You know what I mean? If you want to smoke cigarettes, smoke cigarettes. If you want to smoke pot, smoke pot. If you want to drink, drink. That's on you. That's not. You know, I'm not your dad. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? Seriously, I hate those people that I'm not going to preach to you, but I would like you just to think about it just because if you fall out or get hurt, I'll feel terrible. And I don't want anybody to fall out or get hurt, you know, doing the right thing, trying to climb or doing a fun run. So, you know, just think about it.
You kind of mentioned it, right? We're at full speed. I know with some previous dates that had come out, right, it was kind of subdued. Now you got everything going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all go, man. It's rock and roll. It's the whole thing.
Hey, Chief, I got a question for you.
We're not even socially distancing.
So, you know, we'll talk about how to get, like, I'm sure in a little bit about the classes and how you go through the submission process and things like that. But maybe since he's sitting next to you, you could talk about, we've had some phenomenal keynote speakers in the past. I think 2021 will obviously be no different with the guy to your left, but maybe go about, you know, that's kind of a handpicked thing that you do and your process to think about that. And then kind of maybe parlay to this 2021 FDIC.
So I guess we could, and just jump in because you all are teaching there too. So pretend it's a union meeting and they're screwing us again. So So you're right. So anyway, like the keynote thing, it's been like kind of like a weird thing, because like a lot of things in life, it's like no real rhyme or reason. Like you can't apply to be the keynote, or you can't, you know, you can't, you know, I get a lot of emails from stuff like, I got one yesterday. My name is, you know, Danny Dumpinelli, whatever. And I'm a motivational speaker. And I once got hit by a truck, and then I ended in a cabbage field, and I was raised by mice. And now I'm a keynote speaker about how to survive being raised by mice. And you're like, okay, great, dude. No, we don't use people like you. We use real people like Larry. You know, Pete Van Dorp, president of the IFSI, he had spoke for, he's been a keynoter. This year, Steve Chikorotis, who everybody knows, a legendary battalion chief out of Chicago, Illinois. He was the guy, he was a subject matter expert as a young lieutenant for Backdraft, right? That, for freaking Backdraft, he was a subject matter expert. And he's done a bunch of screenwriting. So he's like really involved with that stuff. He was also involved in like the, you know, what are those things that, like they're a car and then they turn into a, like a
Transformer
movies. He's been involved in those. And then he's an actor. He was a real battalion chief. I mean, he worked with the Hoffs, everybody. I mean, Pete, all the guys, and you know, he's been with Chicago. He's 35 years on the line. And anyway, he's also now the subject matter expert and a producer for Chicago Fire. And he plays the role of Chief Walker. So when you see Chief Walker come on, that's Steve Chikorotis. And he just does a great job, and it's a cool set. And I think of all the fire shows that are out there, and every now and then they'll do something, and I'll shoot him a note and I'll say, Steve, and he'll go, Bobby, Hollywood, it's Hollywood. Just let it go, dude. It's entertainment, let it go. You know, well, we don't exactly, let it go, right? So, but you got to admit, it does show us in a really good light. It really does. I mean, Chicago Fire is good to us. It's good to the fire service. So Steve is going to do Wednesday. Larry's going to do Thursday. And so Larry is also going to be with his brother, David. And we'll get into the whole glue thing and let Larry explain that in a minute. But Larry stepped up for me. And so did John Alston. John Alston's going to be our featured speaker on Thursday. So what happened was, when we were on schedule for 2020, it was going to be Frank Viscuso. But with the new dates, Frank couldn't make it. And for 2020, I was sick. And so I'll just be straight. I was too sick to do two talks Wednesday and then do Thursday. I knew I wouldn't be able to do it. So I called up John and I said, John, will you carry me on this? I'll just do a short 2-minute thing and introduce you. And then, so John said, gotcha, I got your six, brother. So John's going to keep coming. John's going to do his thing. And then when Frank dropped out, Larry was scheduled to do 2022. So I called Larry and David. I said, what do you say? And they said, we're ready. We'll do it. So Larry and David jumped in. So Frank will be doing 2022 now. So we just, we move people. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole keynoter story. So tell us the story behind glue and your famous and much better looking brother. Just tease.
Don't worry, Brian does that all the time, so I'm used to it.
He isn't. That guy is a stud.
David is. Yeah. I mean, he's quite, yeah. I'm just glad to be on the same stage with him. I'm not going to get too deep because I don't want to give too much of it away. But, you know, glue, we've been teaching FDIC, I guess, 9 or 10 years now. We've been very honored to come back each year. And it's always a great response from the audience and all. And but I think what I get better out of teaching is just being there among everybody. I mean, just the hanging out, the meetings in the halls, the little grabbing a bite to eat across from where the guy that sells all those embroidery jackets and stuff, and talking to, you know, new people you met, and some of the tried and true things like hanging out in the speaker room and seeing the voices of Indianapolis Fire Department sing, you know, which if I have my uniform on, I get mistaken as like, hey, great job. Never told me about four people told me that one time. If me and Tiffany Wesley walking down the hall, they say, hey, you guys, great job. We was like,
We just went with it.
But you know, it was a good time. But my point is those little things that you're in the socials and everything. So we enjoy that almost as much as we enjoy teaching. And then going to other people's classes and stuff because it's just such a great pull together of things. But when we're going to be doing the keynote is going to our GLUE program, Growing Leaders Using Empowerment, is something that really taps into personal leadership and behavior health. And that's what we've been talking about for the past 10 years and some version of it.
But here's what's really important about the keynoters. These guys have been doing it even longer than that because we've been friends for over 25 years now. And we've been through some shit together. We lost two good friends, Rob and Derek, St. Louis firefighters with Larry. They were buddies of ours. And we'd studied together and done stuff together and they got killed in a terrible fire. And we went through that. And then Larry and I have been buddies and I'm closer to his mom than him. I like his mom. And his mom, Elaine's taught for us. His mom is a friend of mine. Her name's Elaine. She's taught at FDIC. She's a great teacher. So it's interesting. Like the keynote, if you look at those cats up there that have keynoted, I mean, Dugan, you know, Combs, the list goes on and on and on.
Angie,
you know, the people who've shared up there are just, there's no trivial people, you know what I mean? And this program's not, it's hard to describe, you know what I mean? And if you haven't done it, his brother's a real actor. We were teasing earlier, but David has done stuff for Tyler Perry. He's done his own movies. He's done real Hollywood stuff. He role plays stuff.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about when you're role playing with David is you forget your role playing. Yeah. He sucks you right in.
Yeah.
And we've had cats to where, you know, you got to kind of jump up because the dude want to fight, you know, and David's like, I'm done. We're stopped. We're back. Oh, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, no, man, you know, you're taking this too seriously. So, you know, that's the level of training that happens in GLUE. It's a radically different program than any other thing you've ever done. And so when we did the first one, I came in and
St. Louis
and a buddy of yours, now he's the chief up in,
somewhere in Missouri. I think he came back from
Colorado Springs.
Cause Brian isn't Sean in Missouri now.
Is Sean back in Missouri?
Sean who?
Biddle. Sean Biddle.
Oh, he was. Yeah, he went to Colorado. Then he came back and I don't know where he's at now. He left the lake. He was on Table Rock. Sean Biddle was.
Okay. So Sean owned a limo. So Sean shows up. He sends Sean to the airport, this stretch limo for me. And I'm like, you're killing me, Smalls. And Sean played it up to the nine. Never lit on. He was a firefighter. Played it up to the nine. So when the keynoting thing is so serious and it's so weird, when you come to see it, the people who are doing it have been getting ready for 2 years. Mm-hmm. They knew 2 years out, so they've been getting ready for 2 years, and they have to go to rehearsals, and they got to bring their stuff, and they got to do it live the day before, And everybody's last because they go, oh, I wish I could have that back. That was perfect. It was better. It was, you know, because, you know, you're doing it in an empty room, too. It's kind of interesting. So I really hope you make the keynotes. So talk about your workshops.
The one thing I was going to say about the keynotes is, you know, from the FDICs, I've been to the last few, luckily. And so it always seems like the message from the keynote resonates for whatever the year is. And I don't know how you do it. But, you know, we've had Steve Pegram with the story of his family and his wife and, you know, how that resonated with people. And just, you know, I left there thinking, okay, you need to, you know, it's not all about the fire service, right? So we go to FDIC, we think nothing but fire for that week, but to come back out of that, you know, Angie Hughes and her, you know, issues with the fire stations and the abuse she faced.
Dan DeGrice.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, and I'm sure this is going to be no different. It's just, it's amazing how when you listen to that 20, 25 minutes of a keynote, leaving that can be just as impactful as one of those 4-hour or 8-hour hands-on workshops. So to your point, I'd encourage everybody to get out of bed early on those Wednesdays and Thursdays at 8 o'clock and make sure they make those keynotes.
Steve, you're going to FDIC this year?
Yeah, this will be my first time teaching this year. I was supposed to do 2020 as my first time. This will be my first time teaching at FDIC. So you can imagine I'm ridiculously excited. But
it also shows you that the selection process isn't perfect.
thank you, sir. Thank you. Much appreciated. I'll be doing my lecture on when rotary saws meet overhead doors. It's kind of a passion project that I've been working on for years, and I'm blessed to just get a chance to kind of geek out on it at FDIC again for the first time. I'm mixed with like just total humbleness and excitement, but I'm freaking out because I know that he's watching me. That guy right there is watching me, and I'm just making sure that I do my best to make everybody proud here. I've been blessed to be with you guys for the past few years, and I'm just I guess amongst all y'all right here, I'm one of the newer folk that came in late in the game, and I'm just got lucky to hang out with you guys, and you're going to get everything out of me. I'm just blessed and excited to be teaching.
So talk about the submission process, everybody.
So for me, and you know, it's one of those things, and again, my history with this group, I'll keep it short and sweet, is kind of like you said in the beginning, Chief, you know, write an article and that's one of your tickets to get in. And that's what I did. I was sitting in bed and I was like, you know what? Here's everything that a new training chief should know. And I just wrote it down and one night turned it in as an article and somebody liked it and put it on the website. And I got a call from the ISFSI. They asked me to come in as a guest to speak on the article. We talked a little bit and I ended up staying on as one of the regular crew. And I just, it's been, you know, from there up to here. So, but that doesn't get you a free ticket. You know, it's a process. And you know what? I learned that turning in a couple of submissions. You know, you get some, you lose some. But for me, I put a lot of time into that submission because I know you're looking at each one of them. I know you look at each one of those submissions. So when I was doing mine, I had to make sure that I filled in as much data as possible. I mean, it was relevant to the FDIC and all the people that are going to be there, all the 30,000 plus people that were going to be there. But understanding that you got some massive talent turning in those submissions. It's one of those things where I just made sure I did the best to flesh out that submission process the best I could, and understood also that if you do get a rejection, that's okay too. People get rejected all the time. Some of the heaviest hitters, from what I understand, get the rejection letters. But that being said, it also encouraged me to keep writing articles and keep coming on the Hump Day Hangouts and keep investing my time to FDIC, fire engineering, through all the different avenues of communication, and just keep up on my game so that when I do present, I'm presenting the most relevant material possible. So when people get there, like all of y'all, that they're getting the best bang for the buck, they're getting the most relevant content. And then afterwards, being there to follow up and answer questions and communicate and contact them and go from there.
Yeah, Aaron, you've been doing this for a while. So has it gotten easier for you? I know, you guys, you're doing both, right? You do a workshop and a hands-on.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's gotten easier, honestly. I think, in the beginning when I first started putting out stuff and hoping to get picked up, I was nervous about it, but you know, I had nothing to lose. I was nowhere. I had never been there. And I think the longer you do this, the more difficult it is, because you want to stay there, number one, because you love the people, you love what you're doing. There's no other atmosphere like this in the world. And I've heard, especially with the fact that we didn't have FDIC for over a year, has certainly flared it up. The little spot fires on social media saying, oh, well, I'd rather just go to these little conferences because I'll get it better here and I'll get this and I'll get that. And there's lots of little conferences that are doing wonderful jobs. And I've been involved in lots of those. But none of it replaces FDIC. No matter what you want to do, I don't care how good. And I know there's some great stuff out there. None of it replaces FDIC, because the variety and the level of people that you're bringing in from all over, it gives you so much opportunity to take so many different. It could be administrative. It could be tactical. It could be, you know, command officer stuff. whatever it is, you've got the opportunity that in a week to bring back really such a wide variety of skills and ideas and new knowledge to your local fire department that you can't get by going to a weekend in Pennsylvania or a few days in Florida or, you know, a couple of days in California. It doesn't work. And I think that's the ultimate draw that will always be a part of FDIC. And I mean, for me, the fact that we get, you know, just like Larry said, we get those conversations in the hallway with old friends and things of that nature. And it just, it's a feeling you cannot get anywhere else that I've been a part of in my career. And I'm blessed to be able to do it. But when it comes, just like Steve said, I try to really be careful when I put my stuff in for the call for presentations, because two things. One is, I believe we all need to stay in our lane. So a guy from where I am should not be trying to teach high rise ops, you know, that somebody from New York or Boston or Philly or DC should be teaching. But there's certain things that we do that they don't do. So I think it's all about staying in your lane, knowing what your topic is, being a seasoned pro at your topic. And I've had this conversation with Chief Halton in the past where guys have to practice this stuff before you just shoot it to FDIC. You know, get it out there, work with some local departments, do some presentations. I've got two great guys that work for On Scene right now, younger guys, great big city firemen. They just put a truck presentation together. And the first thing they did was said, hey, where can we do this and try it out before we start taking it really on the road? Like masters of the craft, you know, and totally impressed me that they want to do it that way. So
and there's nothing wrong with the small, you know,
no.
I don't do social media because I think it's like the great wasteland of morons. But all I see are people putting down other people, which is really sad. I mean, if you're on social media and you think that any of those people are really your friends, you're an idiot. I mean, you really are.
You just put somebody down, dude.
Yeah, I'm putting down everybody. Yeah, I'm putting down just about everybody I know. I just find it to be a completely vapid, you know, these people are sitting on a beanbag chair in their mom's basement throwing stones at, you know, guys like you that are doing real work. It's just amazing to me. And they think they're tough guys for doing it. Back when I was a kid, you had to put your face in front of somebody's fist to be a tough guy. Yeah, right? And that's coming back. So,
yeah, careful. I hope so.
You know, the social media people forget that eventually they got to leave their mom's basements, mm-hmm. you know, and be careful who you bump into on the street. So, you know, I'm not threatening anybody. I'm just saying, you know, they're going to give you a dressing down, make you cry, you know, make fun of your tight pants and your man bun. So no disrespect. Sorry again.
My
point was I talk at a dozen little conferences every year, two dozen, and they're great. They're wonderful. FDIC is different. The thing about FDIC is that for a week, everywhere you go, you bump into somebody else wearing a blue t-shirt, you know, and it's all they wear too, you know, or a green t-shirt. But I mean, you know, that you bump into folks that dress like you, that act like you, that talk like you, that get our humor, right? Like, you know, like a lot of people say, oh, I can't believe you made fun of your friends that are bald. I'm like, if I didn't make fun of them, they would be upset. I mean, I didn't like them. You know what I mean? So, but at FDIC, you don't have to worry about that. You know what I mean? And the other thing too to think about is that there's no ideology there. In other words, you could think that everything needs to be a smooth bore, or you could think everything needs to be a fog. Or you could think that we should do only interior operations, or you could think it only needs to be exterior operations. Nobody's gonna get upset with you. They're gonna talk about it. They're gonna say, okay, tell us why. And you can. It's a no judgment zone. You know what I mean? Are these bunker gear make my butt look fat? Yeah, okay, who cares? I mean, it's FDIC. It's where we go to talk about things we're thinking about. Does it? It's not. It's like with the magazine. People always go, "Well, you published this article, but now you're saying this." I'm like, just because I published somebody's article doesn't mean I agreed with them. It means it was a well thought out article. It's a great position. It's not what I would do, you know, but it's what they do. So good for them. You know, my friend Tommy Brennan once said it best, and he told me he got it from somebody else, that nobody has to be wrong for you to be right. And you being right doesn't make them wrong. You know what I mean? It's so it's right for you and your organization and what you're doing. So, you know, don't think that, you know, we qualify your work. In other words, when you submit to FDIC, you know, Aaron might look at it and think it's great. Tony might look at it and think, oh no, this is, I would never do this. But it doesn't mean that Tony's going to give you a bad review. He's going to say, oh, this looks like a well thought out proposal. I don't agree with this tactic, or it's not something I would, you know, endorse for my organization, but okay, let's see what the guy or gal has to say. Right, Mike? I mean, I think that's what's neat about FDIC, right? I really do. You can have a guy from Missouri sitting next to a guy from Anchorage, you know, and he's saying, well, when it's cold in Missouri, and the guy from Anchorage looks at him, really, dude, when it's cold, you know, you want to know cold? We don't consider it cold until it's 30 below. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they're serious. You know what I mean? They fight fire and it's, you know, 10 degrees out and they're like in t-shirt and shorts. So it's just exciting and it's fun. And
I think it's good, right? You talk about the little ones. The little ones, and I do like those. We have Andy Frederick's Training Days just opened up today. It's sold out in like 3 minutes or something. So it's got a great reputation, and I've spoken there lots. And it's funny because you have 300 people there in that room. So 300 people probably are all thinking the same way. At FDIC, they're not all thinking the same way. And that's the beauty of it, right? Is that there's one thing in common, and that's the fire service. And then there's the broad range of diversity of thought and that kind of thing. And it's not like you're jamming one idea down other than fire service, right? And that we're all in this together. So Mike, you've been there for quite a while. Did you teach it when it was in Cincy?
I didn't teach in Cincy. I attended there. My first year teaching at FDIC was 1999 with one of the hot crews. And then I did my first classroom presentation in 2003. So been a great ride, been a great opportunity. And as others have said, it's a challenge to want to stay there because it is the best premier program as far as fire service training goes. And once again, there's no guarantees. If you're not keeping up, if you're not staying relevant, if you're not putting the best material out there, you're not going to get, there's no guarantee you're coming back. And another big thing to think about and consider is your reviews. You know, they look at those reviews at the end of the class. And did you do a good job? You may think you did, but what do the students think? And a note to anybody that does get the chance to present, make sure you go to the speaker room, make sure you look at your reviews. Because once again, you'll realize you may have thought you were hitting the mark, but maybe you were off a little bit, and maybe you need to adjust. So to anybody that does get the opportunity, take full advantage of that. And another way to potentially get in, like I said, I started as part of one of the hands-on training crews. So I wasn't a lead instructor. I didn't necessarily get there based on anything I submitted. But that can open the door and lead to other things. So there's a lot of different ways to possibly to get an opportunity to present at FDIC. And by all means, write your material. As people said, you have to be the subject matter expert. My claim to fame at FDIC is thermal imaging. I started at day one on thermal imaging in the 1990s and have been teaching ever since. I'm doing a pre-conference workshop this year on thermal imaging training programs. But I wouldn't dare submit on forcible entry or anything else because, once again, that's not my area of expertise. So as people had said, make sure there's a reason why they would pick you to come to FDIC. What is it that you have that's unique, that stands out? It may be cutting edge or whatever. And that's a great thing about FDIC is it's always something new. It's always something different. It's a lot of different perspectives. And the more people that submit, the better that can get. So once again, not everybody has to be from FDNY or Chicago to show up and be relevant. Mm-hmm. It's a great, great mix and a great opportunity. So,
and you know, Tony, one of the things too to think about, and I think Mike just said it better than we ever could, you know, there's things that you're great at that, you know, someone else who's also great at it might find and say, hey, that's really, like, I can't remember who was presenting, a really good kid, and he was doing a class on forcible entry. And I look in, and you know who's sitting in there? Bobby Morris. And Bobby Morris has done more forcible entry than probably any of us, all of us combined. I mean, he's just like, he's like a forcible entry, you know, guru. And he's sitting there taking notes. And then after the class, he's up there talking to the kid. And so it doesn't matter where you are in our industry, you know, in this profession, if you think that the guy sitting next to you can't teach you something, go back to being on social media, because you're one of those people. I mean, everybody can teach you something. Everybody, every single person alive, but especially another firefighter, because, you know, like Tony was just saying, he's got to learn about shuttle operations and, you know, what to do when you pull up and one of those yellow things isn't on the corner. You know, now what do I do? And so, you know, and we do classes on shuttle operations. Seth Barker, who's one of our dear friends, he always does, you know, wooey stuff. And it doesn't matter. Anything that has anything to do with the fire service, we're all about it. You know, we have our technology guys and gals that come in and, you know, tell us about, you know, how to, you know, use your smartphone better, which is, it's important. It's really important. So the other thing, to Mike's point, you know, just because you didn't get selected doesn't mean it wasn't a great presentation. You know, we'll ask you to do a webcast. We'll ask you to write about it. It's just, we ran out of room. You know what I mean? And it sucks. It really sucks to, I got turned down. Me and Bruno got turned down a couple of times together. We put this together some really good class. Aaron knows. We bragged about the letters. I got a letter from myself saying, sorry, you got rejected. I was like, dang, I hate me. I went on social media and said, Halton stinks, man. Mm-hmm. What a jerk. He doesn't care about firefighter health and safety. He rejected himself. But, you know, we just run out of room. And you know, and so that's why we ask everybody, you know, send in one or two things. Like, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I think we limited you to two now. So send in two, you know what I mean? And if you don't get selected, please give me a call. Seriously, I'll talk to you about it. I'll try to explain why as best I can. And it's
not about that. How many submissions do you get?
We average about 1,200 overall, Tony.
And then you cut it down to how many, again, there's 21 hot classes, but then how many workshops?
Hot classes are kind of different. We usually get about 30 to 35 requests to do hot classes. It's much more involved, right? Aaron does one, he can tell you. And Mike's been on a team. That's a big deal. And we need facilities and safety and all that. That's a big deal. We do about 90 workshops, Tony. And if you get a workshop, you're not going to get a classroom. So if you get a class, generally speaking, a few folks get both, rarely. Like if you're John Salka and Ricky Lasky, you might get both. You know what I mean? If you're John Norman or somebody like that, you might get both. But generally speaking, if we can get you into a workshop, we can't give you a classroom too. You know what I mean? Because we just don't have the space.
I think Larry Conley gets both.
Not every year.
No, I'm just kidding.
Not every year. No, seriously.
And no, yeah, I agree. No, yeah.
And we're best friends. And you know, I mean, and you know, and I've rejected some of John Salka's classes and Ricky's classes, and they've called me up like, "What's up, bro?" And I'm like, "I know, Halton, go get online real quick. Halton sucks." So, but that's what being a boss is all about. And then you just got to explain. You know what I mean? You got to. And it's never personal. I mean, we don't let that happen. You know what I mean? We don't do that. We flat out don't do that. It's all about merit and it's all about opportunity. It's all about space. And we screw up. I'm going to tell you right now, we've screwed up. You know, we've lost proposals. We thought we accepted somebody and we've screwed up. So, and that's happened, and I apologize for it. You know what I mean?
Don't worry, I'm going to get on social media and talk about it. So,
I think something that really stands out, and I think it needs to be make sure that we continue to push that narrative, is that whatever you're good at, really stick to it. Be sold out to that, because that's an excellent point, you know, Aaron and Mike, you guys made that. so many people do like a shotgun. And people have asked me over the years, why don't you do this? Because it's other things I'm qualified to teach. But I chose to ride the down the hill of leadership because I felt like that was really important. That and everything that comes from that, we talk about mental health, your behavior health, and your contribution. Because if you teach everybody with all these how to use great tools, but they fools with tools scare me on the fire ground. So I'd rather start at the beginning, at the base of dealing with that person, and then evolve from there. So I've decided to down the hill of leadership and submit that continuously and constantly study, perfect that craft, evolve from that. So whatever you are, you know, if I was to give somebody advice on submitting, choose what your voice is, because everybody on this call and everybody who teaches said FDIC has a voice. We need to hear their voice, but we need to hear you sold out to their voice. And if you just kind of rolling with the flavor of the day, you know, you're gonna be found out, and you're gonna be found out fake. And one thing I love about the fire service, and I told David this a long time ago, I said we gotta keep it genuine, we gotta keep it real. Because the fire service is the only one that will stand up in your class and call you out and say, this sucks. Everybody else, you work for another company, they might be kind of, you know, with the etiquette, wait until it's a break or wait till it's over. Fire service will stand up and say, this sucks. And nothing worse than being in the class. I've never had to experience it, thank God. But I've been in classes where other people have done it. And like you said, other venues. And it's rough. So you better make sure. Another thing I was going to say, too, is that what I love about the fire service, too, is that we go to FDIC and you know when we're in town. I mean, you got the banners up, everybody's car got some kind of sticker on it. And I'm not making fun of other professions, but what other profession you go to where 35,000 plumbers show up and they got, you know, the banners all over the city and you have pipe wrenches and they're talking about the great flood of, you know, the toilet flood of 1972. You know, nobody does that. We show up, show out, learn, love each other, and take something back with us. And I don't know any other profession that gathers that big and that serious as we do in Indianapolis.
No, yeah, I hope Indianapolis is ready because we got some pent up frustration for over a year a plus that is going to get unleashed there in that beautiful city, and it is a great town. Brian, what are you doing? Company officer stuff?
Yeah, company officer leadership. It's kind of to Larry's point, it's my passion. You know, I've been fortunate to get promoted to a chief rank, but I will tell you, and I tell everybody this, that the most important role in the fire service is that company officer. And so without effective and crucial company officers that know how to lead their crews and be that critical link, the fire service is not effective and the organization is not effective. So that's my thing that I like to talk about. I did it for over 10 years before I took this job. Worked for good company officers, worked for bad company officers, know some good company officers, maybe one sitting there in the room that I still call and talk quite a bit with, maybe bring them some soup once in a while. But so that's my thing. That's what I like to talk about, company level leadership and company level tactics. So that's what I'm doing this year at FDIC, and, you know, submitted it, been lucky enough for 7 years now to teach that topic and different variations of it and things like that at FDIC. And each year, you know, submitting to your guys' point, you know.
But you know what's fun about FDIC, Brian? And if I was in your class, I would say, and I get it, company officer leadership is critically important, but I think that it's important because it's the tip of the spear, right? It's where the consequences are most readily felt when a decision goes south. But I don't know that any of it's disconnected. You know what I mean? Like the older I get, like if you think about it, the station captain level of supervision is really critical too. And then the battalion and the assistant and the deputy and, you know, all the way up to the boss of the department who kind of sets the overall, I don't know, mood or, you know, direction or environment, if you will. So it would be a really fun, and that's the kind of conversation that we would get into at FDIC routinely. Like, okay, you could say that. I mean, I think it's legitimate to say maybe the company officer is the most critical leadership level, but is it really? Because that dude or dudette can't do their gig if the person above them is a, you know, shoehorn, you know what I mean? So, you know, you, and I love that Fools with Tools. I'm stealing that one. That's an editorial right there, bro. I'm telling you right now, Fools with Tools. You wrote it down too, Mike? Right. I was like, the minute I heard that, I know.
Come to the class.
That's mine now, bro. That's mine. I'm owning. I'm taking ownership of that one. So, but right. And so those are the discussions we have all the time. I mean, and I think at FDIC, it's fun to have them. You know what I mean?
So the thing I think it's so interesting about FDIC, and I think everybody in this call will probably speak the same, is, you know, the 7 years I've taught there, the classes are interactive, right? So you got the top notch, the top of the top students in the classes, to Chief Halden's point, that want to have those conversations. So, you know, we've all sat in those PowerPoint by death presentations, and those are never successful. So the classes that I've attended and that I've taught at FDIC are more open-ended, to where you're drawing on the knowledge of the students in the class and experiences, and you're creating those discussion points so that my experiences are then shared with everybody else in the class and their experiences are shared. So we're collectively growing those 35,000 people that come to that show every year. And I think that's a critical point. You know, when people submit these classes and write their submissions, yeah, have you taught it before? That's probably important. Or do you readily teach classes on a routine basis? You know, you're not some guy that just wants to just get to FDIC. But then too, you know, is your presentation such so that you're not going to bore the heck out of people? You know, it's got to be also entertaining. You know, it's got to, I mean, I hate to say it like that, but, you know, at the end of the day, FDIC needs to sell butts and seats for this show to succeed. And, you know, if you're not going to be a draw, or your class is not going to be a draw, then it's tough for, I should be like that, but, you know, I think that, you know, it has to have some type of feel to it or flair to it and make it a success.
So with that, right, you guys, there's some repeat offenders on the call, right? There are several people here who have been to FDIC and presented for a long time. You can't, as much as we say, stay in your lane, the lane is changing, right? I mean, I don't mean that, you know, high rises are a big thing, and everybody's getting one, or more people are getting them, but they're changing. High rises are changing. So the high rise that you taught about 15 years ago is different now, right? So the commercial building, Aaron, that you talked about when you started there is changing. And in addition, some of the things we're learning about the fire in that has changed. So how do you stay relevant? I mean,
yeah. Well, what we're doing, and I can tell you, Tony, it's a great point, and I've had this conversation with our instructors, and we have this conversation even at work, because our work environment keeps changing with kind of regentrification in some areas that are falling off, you know, and companies, guys that were assigned in this area, they were used to this, and now it's changed, and the demographics have changed, and now some of the security issues are different. So even for FDIC this year, we've changed up some of our props, because it is still a business, and you still want to draw and attract people. And if we're not filling seats on buses, somebody else will. So if we get stale, somebody else wants our spot real bad, and they're real hungry, and I guarantee it. So it's my job as the lead to reach out to everybody that's involved and say, how do we stay very, very relevant to today and provide the best product possible in a relatively short amount of time? And the way that I've found is the best way is, number one, by having dialed in instructors who know what's going on in the field today and see it. So that's one. Two, they have to be able to relate the topic really well and very safely in the hot scenario to a varied group of students. Because, you know, as we said, we may have somebody with years and years and years of fires under their belt who can operate a rotary saw like it's a toothbrush. However, you may have somebody who works in a place or volunteers in a place that maybe starts the rotary saw every third Thursday just for drill or for truck checks. And we have to be able to maintain that balance and safety for all of them. But I really believe that commercial building is a prime example. I see it now where constructions have changed quite a bit. We're going with a lot more locking devices, a lot more new forcible entry type problems, a lot more saw work. One good example is we incorporated chain link fence removal into our section of it, because not so much for surrounding the outside of the building, but we were finding in our warehouses, it was cheaper to throw up a chain link fence wall in between sections of warehouse. And that was their wall. And then when the things changed around, the occupancy changed, it was an easy move and it wasn't costly. We got into a fire where we got to one side of it and we were on the wrong side of the chain link fence. Now, and we were like, shoot, now what do we do? And, you know, it's call for it. We, at the time, we didn't even think of it, but really call for us all. Let's make quick work of it, you know? So
Aaron's point, you said a couple of things that are really important for people to hear. There's certain things that we're always going to do. Forcible entry, roof ops, hose line advancement, anything that has to do with your fundamental tactics. Mm-hmm. But then there's things that are almost episodic, right? Hazmat, when I first took over, hazmat was huge. And positive pressure ventilation came. And then there was, you know, we had a whole evolution of saving our own. Remember, saving our own was, but now saving our own is inside of every recruit class in America. I mean, it became such a big piece of our culture that, you know, to do it at FDIC was almost redundant, right? Because it was so widely disseminated in the fire service. And, you know, mental health we tackled, and cancer. And so there are certain topics that I think, to Brian's point earlier, you know, are, you know, there's kind of things we're talking about, you know, and I think right now we're kind of talking about, you know, all of those issues. But from time to time, things come like this. It's the ebb and flow of the interest levels. And you have to remember, if you submit something on leadership, you're in with a lot of other folks that are doing leadership. Leadership is one of the things we get the most on. It's also the most widely written on topic in the history of mankind, because we do it so poorly. You know what I mean? Which is good. I mean, everybody responds to a different leadership style, and that's just the known, right? We all know that. Some folks resonate well with, say, a Bruno style leader. Other folks would resonate more with a Leo Stapleton style leader. Two radically different management approaches. Both equally valid, both wonderful, both, you know, legendary, but very, very different men. And you know, the resonance, it depends on who you are. So anyway, keep that in mind when you send in your proposal. If it's something like, you know, mental health now, and we've done so much of that, and we get so much of that because it's very popular. You know what I mean? And it's not an affront to you. If we don't know you, we're going to go with a Dan DeGrice. You know, we're going to go with a Pat Kinney. We're going to go with, you know, who, by the way, Pat will be receiving the Instructor of the Year from the Society, Pat Kinney. And Pat has an incredible story, as we all know.
That is great. That's a great story.
Yeah. Lost his son, Sean, to suicide. Lost his beautiful wife, who was a dear friend of mine, to cancer. His dad died young. Pat has overcome all of that, wrote a wonderful book about the whole thing and about, you know, being Superman, which is the story he tells about how we're not supermen or superwomen, we're just regular people, but we kind of try to wrap ourselves in that cape. So lifetime achievement will be Mike Dugan, which is, I think, just wonderful. Mike's got a great story. He was a police officer who became a firefighter. You know, he's just an amazing man. Got the Gordon Bennett Medal. He got the Archer Medal. And the Archer Medal is only given out every 3 years to the firefighter in New York City who had done the most heroic rescue over a 3-year period. And Mike was awarded that. He's just a great, great human being. And he's taught. He's still teaching. I think Mike's teaching today in New York City. He's still teaching for a great group of guys in New York that do teaching there. So that's going to be happening. There's just so much to do at FDIC, and we love all the other shows. We support all the other shows. I teach at the other shows. You know, if anybody thinks that FDIC wants to put other people out of business, it's not true. We love the classes that you know, Aaron's doing. We think our friends at Firehouse are fine. We think our friends at the other shows are just fine. We think whether you're doing a small conference in anywhere, whether it's the firemanship guys doing their, we think that stuff is fantastic. I go to it. I speak at those things. I, I think they're wonderful people. And there's a lot to be said about a smaller gathering, you know, when you can have a chance to, you know, have dinner with somebody or be, get a, spend a little more time with a closer group. That's a wonderful thing. FDIC is different. You know, it's why there's, you know, chocolate and vanilla. You know, sometimes you, right, sometimes you want to do one thing. You know, right. Yeah. I mean, it's,
that was
chocolate. Ebony and Ivory.
I see what you did there.
I was going to drop into my, what was that? Who was the comedian who did that? Eddie Murphy. And who was the guy who,
Joe Piscopo.
Ebony and Ivory. Right. That was a funny skit. So anyway, So please, you know, if you're out there on social media and somebody's saying, you know, oh, I don't like that, because, okay, you don't like it, doesn't mean that your buddy isn't going to love it. It doesn't mean that we don't love you. I mean, it's not, we've gotten to this world where you either, you know, it was like, I laugh about people who talk about smooth and straight, but you need both from time to time. And Brian, you got to go to a truck meeting. Yeah, no.
Unfortunately, I got a 1 o'clock truck meeting, and so
go to the truck meeting. We'll wrap it up. But Brian, thank you. We're looking forward to your class.
Yeah, absolutely. Good talking to you guys. I look forward to seeing everyone in 2 months.
Yeah, it's gonna rock, man.
Yeah, make sure we do our lunch before we leave.
Yeah, you guys got a lunch date next week, don't you?
Next week or the week after, we always do our annual FDIC lunch, so it'd be good.
So we'll do that.
All right, brother. See you later, Brian. But so the call for presentations is open. I'll probably extend it, but it does end in 2 weeks. I always kick a couple of days on there because my friend Aaron Heller does not understand what a calendar is good for. Just to get a kid in there. But, you know, if you do get it in early, it does help. And eventually we will close it. But we are looking to see what you have to say. If you haven't written for us, just say, hey, I haven't written for you guys, but I really like you, and I'd love to do something. Please let you know. If you want help from Mike is willing to help people with their submissions. So Mike, do you want to give people your address to, if they want to help you, if you want to help them?
Sure. My email in the chat, majmrichardson@gmail.com. No guarantees, but you know, if I can help anybody, don't hesitate to reach out. And I would say anybody on the panel is probably willing to do that. And that's a great thing about FDIC too. Pretty much, if you have any doubts at the conference, grab somebody and sit down in the hallway and have a conversation and say, hey, I'm thinking about putting this together. What do you think? What would be your recommendations? What would be your suggestions? And I think a lot of people are willing to help because, you know, my days are coming. I've been at this for over 20 plus years. So somebody's going to have to fill my shoes. So who's that going to be? So don't be bashful about reaching out. So.
And Diane Rothschild holds a class at the on the final day on Friday of classes called Do You Want to Be an Author? And I highly recommend you go to that because it was funny. Tommy Brennan, God rest his soul, when he, former editor of Fire Engineering and chief of Waterbury, New York City firefighter, when Tommy was trying to convince me to take this job, I said, you know, don't worry about it, kid. We got people that'll English it up for you. That's what he called, you know, like when you're sending your articles to us, they got people that'll English it up, you know? So we would get, you know, we get articles, my good friend, Bill Gustin, won't mind me telling this story. Bill used to send us articles on yellow legal tablets written out in, you know, hand and printed in hand. You know, we still have, we've saved some of them because they're classics. And then he'd have like a square, insert picture here. You know, it was us. And then the wonderful folks that do the editing, Diane does it for me every month on my editorials. She's taught me everything I need to know about punctuation and grammar. She's amazing at it. And so don't feel like, oh, I'm not a writer. You know, if you're good, like Mike said, you know, he's been into thermal imaging forever. Write about thermal imaging. Steve is in love with, you know, overhead doors and chainsaw and rotary saws. So he wrote about it and he loves being an instructor. Tony is amazing as an instructor and Mayday Mondays and legendary, you know, drill master out in DC. And now he's going to write about it. And I'm sure he's going to write about, you know, moving out to his new location. And Aaron and I have been friends forever. And I remember, you know, we were sitting in, you know, the diners in Jersey talking about, you know, he was doing classroom stuff and with our good friend Bill Hobson. And Bill does an amazing classes, amazing workshops. And then Aaron said, well, I put in a thing for, you know, commercial hot, you know, and it got rejected. And then the next year it got rejected again. And then the next year it got rejected again. And then what happened?
It's a great feeling when you get brought in and to be part of it all, but you just have to have stick-to-itiveness. That's the key to it all. And the last thing I would say is, and Bobby had said this in the presentation portion too, if you see somebody doing a great hot class, you can emulate that hot class. You can do it at home. You can do what you want. Don't try to put that presentation into FDIC because obviously that's really not the best way of going about things. You know, be unique, be you, find good stuff. When I put in for commercial, nobody was doing commercial. And I ran into a couple fires where I thought our guys needed better training. So we trained our guys and I thought, hey, I bet you we're not the only ones that have this deficiency. And that's why I kept bringing it to FDIC and hoping they would take it. And so far it's been several years and it's been pretty well received. And, you know, and we don't cost them a ton of money. So they like us.
I'll tell you what we're looking for. And Tony and I have talked about this a lot. And Mike and I talked about this also. You know, these new, where they're putting the bodegas and the businesses, we got one right across the street. Larry and I are going to go look at in a minute here. And then all the apartments are above it, you know, the condos and such. You know, when those catch fire, it's just the ball game. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the one across the street is a small one, but some of these ones, Dugan and I were out in King of Prussia.
And yes.
The freaking thing was massive, man. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of apartments it had in it, but it was like six stories and it was like mind bending, you know what I'm thinking? All wood. You know, I'm thinking, whoa.
You had one burned down a few years ago in St. Louis like that.
Right. So that there's a topic for somebody to start tackling. Wrap your head around that, you know? And so I really thank Tony for letting us talk about FDIC because it's so important to all of us. And
the dentist.
Yeah, the dentist, the drill master.
Well, I think that it brought us all together, right? And again, whether we were on the podcast together or not, we do have that in common. FDIC is a kind of, you know, a home base for a lot of us. It's some place we feel comfortable being at. It's all, you know, it's a fire thing. It's a good place to go. Again, I think that missing last year, there's a lot of stuff that people will have to talk about. It's going to be tough because you might spend all the time in the hallways talking and miss some of the classes because you've missed people for, you know, for 18 months or so. But Bobby, I think we're all excited. We're all looking forward to it. If you are thinking about signing up to put a presentation in, it's definitely a really cool feeling to get accepted. I mean, it does suck to get rejected, but hopefully it'll motivate you to try again next year. It is quality though, right? And that's what's cool about it. It's not just checking the box. It's not just, okay, we need a forceful entry. We'll pick anybody. No, there's some weeding through to find good quality stuff. And that's something that we can all hang our hat on is that we did go through a vetting process to get on that. So it's good. Don't be intimidated by it because there are people just like you and me and that do the reading. It's not like some special, you know, wizard behind the cage that's doing it. It's people just like us. In fact, I know Sam Hiddle, who's a frequent visitor to our monthly Hemp Day Hangout. He's one of the reviewers for this stuff. So it's just like us. If you can convince them, then, you know, you can get into the show.
Every single presentation gets read by at least six people. Every single one. Every single one. And they comment on every single one. And we try to, the board has folks as legendary as John O'Connell. And we actually have a brand new young man who's doing it for us, who's got 8 years on, and he's working out of the Oklahoma City area. But so we try to really, you know, spread out that viewpoint So we have, we'd love to hear from you, and it's not impossible to get selected, and it's not personal if you don't. And it's just a lot of fun. We smile a lot, because when you come to FDIC, you smile a lot,
Tony.
And you hug.
A couple of things here.
You can hug. Tony loves to be hugged.
A couple of things here, right? Next week, what is it? June 15th is the deadline for submissions?
Yes, sir.
Again, the tentative deadline, there might be an extension for that. But if you get it in then, you definitely get it in in time. So don't plan on there being an extension. Another thing is, again, that first week of August is the big show for 2021. Those are upcoming days, and that's close, right? August is not that far away. And then if we can make it past August, it'll cool off and we'll have a good winter time. But again, August, the first week of August, if you're thinking about coming, you better sign up soon, because all that stuff fills up. If you're signing up now, you're going to get a hotel at the airport, but you're still going to be there. The beauty of it is they got a bus for you to get downtown. You don't have to bring a car or anything. Oh. They'll run you around town. If you sign up
with our housing bureau, all the hotels on our housing bureau are connected by our shuttle service. So if you go to some outlier on, you know, Travelocity or something, you may end up on one that's not on the shuttle service. But so check.
Yeah, so check that, because again, it's easy. Once you're there, you don't have to do anything except get on a bus and they'll bus you around. FDIC is definitely fun. So another date is today. Today, if you're an ISFSI member, sign up for the happy hour tonight. Tonight's happy hour is we're going to talk about the 60th anniversary, or the 60th anniversary of ISFSI. We've been around for 60 years, and we're going to celebrate that tonight at tonight's happy hour. Look for that. If you're a member, sign up, get in, be there. It'll be a good time. Steve, any last shots? Any last words of wisdom?
Kind of focusing on something these guys said before in reference to articles. If you're looking for a way in, I want to repeat that, to write articles, to get your foot in the door, to really focus on those. And the last thing I'll say is this: is I again, I'm one of the people who just started attending FDIC relatively recently. And to be quite honest, I didn't get it at first. I didn't understand what it was to be there until I was there. So a lot of the things we're talking about, I wouldn't have understood having not been there. The interaction, the before the conference things, during the conferences, the conversations, the nights out, interacting, talking with the speakers. I didn't get it until I was there, and I get it now. And being involved with this group as it is right now at the next level is just that much more rewarding. So I'm just humbled to be part of this group. I'm excited to meet teaching for the first time. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in August.
Thanks, Steve. Mike, are you ready for an inundation of emails to get your help?
Bring it on. I'm ready. So once again, got to get some new folks in here to replace us folks. So we need some new folks. Another thing real quick to consider, because it would be great if everyone could come to FDIC, but not everyone can. Don't forget about the Fire Engineering Academy. It's a great collection of training programs that you can get access to. And a good chunk of those are from FDIC presentations. So if you can't make it to FDIC, don't forget about that's an option to pick up a lot of these classes. So if you can't, because I know some people are still on COVID restrictions or whatever else, if you can't come, that's a great way to still learn and pick up a lot of new things. So don't forget about that option. Really looking forward to seeing everybody there, since it's been quite a while. So.
Yeah, how about Aaron? Some closing remarks.
I'm just stoked, man. We're gonna get through the summer and get out there. I'm looking forward to being in Indy. I just showed Steve a picture of a bunch of garage doors that we just picked up yesterday. So if Dave Rhodes is short on supplies, I'm gonna just haul them out. So I'm stoked for it all, and we're gonna change things up, and it's a new era, and we're just gonna keep working at it. And FDIC is the place where so many great things debut and happen, and I can't wait to be with everybody again. That's what I've missed the most, is the people, really have. So I'm stoked.
Good deal, Bobby. And how about Larry? Larry, it's good to see you on our Hump Day Hangout.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. And once again, I'm looking forward to it and seeing all you guys in person since we missed out last year. And I'm excited and nervous about the keynote, but that's a good thing because it keeps you humble. But I'm confident that our message is really going to help a lot. And that was the motivation behind the keynote, is really see how many people we can help with our message on personal leadership. And so we're looking forward to that. And then just looking forward to the whole experience, looking forward to Bobby. David always said when Bobby walks down hall, like parts the Red Sea, because everybody like, you got to get the bodyguard there. Like, hey, did Mr. Halton want to see you or not? So it's a pretty good experience. But other than that, if you haven't been, please come on out and join us, see what it's all about, because talking about it doesn't do it any justice. So come on out and check it out. You'll be glad you did. And I've always been able to take something back to my department that can help me, help my department, and also help me personally as a firefighter. I've grown exponentially because of my experience at FDIC.
I hope you take away that you don't have to lay out. No, that's another podcast that you should watch that was this past month with Bobby and friends Dennis Laguerre, Phil Jost. That was a really good one. But that's the kind of stuff you'll find at FDIC is you can go and to a class.
And I don't agree with that.
I know. And I do. But that's what we can talk about.
Right.
So thanks, Bobby. Thanks for having us on. Thanks for coming on. That's our Hump Day Hangout for this month. Check it out. We'll see you next month. Next first Wednesday of the month.
Love you all. God bless.
All right.